Welcome to TIYA After Dark, the bonus feed for This Is Your Afterlife, unbound by the format of the main show. I am Dave Marr. Thank you for subscribing and supporting my work. Special thanks to folks at the producer tier, Katie Llewellyn, Fred Fidawa, Shubha Singh, G. Debo, and Doc Lobster MD. More from Doc Lobster MD in just a bit, because today I am doing the first ever TIYA mailbag episode. I have solicited questions, thoughts from you all. You all came through after some, I had to make it as easy as possible, which I understand, you know, saying like, email me, which by the way, to get out ahead of it, you can always do this is Dave Marr at gmail.com. Forget the old podcast email address. I'm not keeping them separate anymore. And also thank you to Matt Sage for the show's art and TIYA house band Lake Mary for the music. All that out of the way. Obviously saying, go email me. You know, it's what is it in marketing? It's like, you know, you're providing off-ramps, obstacles to get people from what is it in marketing? Okay. Anyway, I was able to get some very good questions and some very silly questions from you all, thanks to the questions feature on Instagram stories. So if you're not following me or the show, this is Dave Marr. This is Your Afterlife on Instagram. Go do that. And that's it, man. Let's just get into it. I have a couple of heavy hitters up top. Then I have some silly questions to get through, and then a nice little landing pad for the ending. So I hope I've structured this okay for you. So, oh, and I should say, and we'll start this. This will be the transitional sound to start the mailbag, but it will also be the sound I play in between different questions. And that sound is the male meow. It comes from my cat Thames, from a video where my partner took when I guess I went out to go get some mail or something, and he was sad about that. So it's just a sad cat's meow in between mailbag questions. Okay, so here we go. Great. First question is from Colleen, who has an Instagram account that you can follow at Death Doula Does, D-O-E-S. And I don't think it's, I think it's okay that I shout them out because they're a public facing person. We've DM'd a little bit and they're doing interesting work. And their question was, have you ever looked into providing death care for folks in your community? It's the kind of question you would think maybe I would have like an obvious, like, well, yes, of course. I'm doing my due diligence. I'm doing the afterlife-y death podcast. Yes, of course. I'm always looking for opportunities for service and providing care and really expanding on the themes of the show rather than just whatever my comedic whims happen to be. And so if you can't tell from my tone here, I'm aware of some services, but the truthful, deepest answer to this is no. However, there is a suggestion that was made to me by an old buddy, Eric Ironman, who has listened to the show. Eric, if you're still listening, if you're listening to this episode, hello. And his suggestion was to basically have a service, and maybe I added to this, but I'll give him the full credit for it, but a service where I talk to people at the ends of their lives and get their stories. Not an audio will, so to speak, but like a sort of... And who knows what it could be. It could be different depending on the person. You know, the obvious thing would be like a life story. But I would sit down with someone for some length of time and talk to them about their life and with the intention of leaving behind a recording or series of recordings for their loved ones. And I think that would be cool. I think I would be into that. That's the kind of like death work that I am interested in. Because I got to be honest, I know from interviewing people that the boring stuff, all the will, all the paperwork is really important stuff. I know the heavy conversations are important, but some of them I'm having on the podcast, I'm open to it. But that is the extent of my thinking on the subject at the moment. But if folks have suggestions, Colleen, if you have suggestions of places to start or things you think I'd be good at, maybe I'm asking too much. Maybe it's like, get off your ass and do your own work, dude, which, you know, fair enough. Like, ease up though, you know? But yeah, that's where I'm at with that. Next question comes from the illustrious doctor himself, Doc Lobster, MD. And I really like this question. Here we go. Oh, but first. Great. Getting older, getting tired, leaning too much on watching / listening / reading things I've already seen / heard / read because I know what to expect. No challenges, no surprises. I admire your drive to seek out new media and ideas in general. Do you have any insights on how to keep that curious spark alive and not give in to the toxic impulse of nostalgia? How do you avoid this process turning into work with a capital W, allowing cynicism and burnout to drag it into the realm of toxic self-improvement? Great question, dude. Thank you so much for asking this. I want to start by giving you credit because this show did not exist several years ago. This show was on hiatus less than 1 year ago. So you're already listening to a new thing for you. I hope that this is substantial enough that it feels like a thing, an avenue through which you can already answer some of these questions for yourself. Also, I've said this on the podcast recently, but I kind of consider it my duty as a person without kids right now to provide the service of exploring ideas and art and presenting them to people who have fuller or busier or less media rich lives for whatever reason. That's a thing that I like doing, that I'm happy to do. And I do think it's a little bit of a responsibility. So this is like I take this as like a note to me of like, you know, how can I continue to get people who make things to watch / listen / read that can get you up on things? I mean, no challenges, no surprises. Obviously, that sucks. Well, depending on the moment you're in. But my impulse was to say, oh, nostalgia might not be a toxic impulse. So yeah, because any truism, anything that's been said enough times for long enough, I start to be like, well, can we poke any holes in this? Are there ways in which this is maybe not the full story? And I think nostalgia, depending on who you talk to, gets a bad rap. But I'm trying to think, do I mean this? This is the thing I'm going to be asking myself a lot in this episode. But do I mean this? Nostalgia, but there's certain benefits of nostalgia. It can be nice to live in that nostalgic place every once in a while, as long as you keep it balanced and as long as it's not a totally blunting activity, I guess. But okay, how do I seek out this stuff? I mean, some of it is a compulsion. And that I can't like instruct people in. But I think it is finding a couple of sources. And I think right now, this is kind of the responsibility I was talking about. Right now, I think it's really fucking important to find sources that you trust that are not algorithmic, that expose you to new things you sometimes like. So if they're not algorithmic, right, it's important to remember the hit rate is going to be lower. But if it's something like, I think newsletters are really good for this. So if you find out about a newsletter, or you just like, you could start just Google, like what kind of newsletter you want to look up, like Smarter Guy Movies newsletter, what non-nostalgia newsletters, you know, whatever. You find one, you're not committed to subscribe to it forever. Or for me, it's like certain websites. It was like Pitchfork forever until I gotta admit the paywall fucked me up a little bit, man. I don't even read. I used to read like all the reviews in the like 7 to 8 range, because that's like the sweet spot for kind of stuff that I've tended to like more recently. But yeah, so finding those things, and if it's someone presenting a personal thing, you get to really, even if it's something you don't like right away, you get to hear why they like it or read why they like it or whatever. And that gives you access into it more. And in terms of turning it into work, I think it's like, dude, me getting into black metal, there's no way that I can classify that as self-improvement or toxic self-improvement. You know, it's like, it's just not. So I think like doing things that are, that like titillate you a little bit, doing things that are wrong or like so worthless where you're like, this thing, you know, do you remember, if you're like me, do you remember when you first watched those I Think You Should Leave episodes and you're like, this is so stupid, it's just so pure, and you're just like sucking at the teat of like the dumbest fucking just comedy and just the things that feel like light, you know? Like, give yourself permission to like stop reading books if it sucks, or stop watching a movie that sucks. Turn off the thing, and just like that part of you, because I have this that's like, well, I have to finish this, I have to complete, you know, I still haven't finished Reservation Dogs, that FX show, which I really liked when I was watching it, but I haven't finished it. So yeah, another FX show, What We Do in the Shadows. A show I liked, didn't finish. Part of it is like you commit with your partner to start watching something, and then all of a sudden, you know, you have excuses for like, oh, well, we're not in the mood for this right now. But Reservation Dogs I watched by myself, and I haven't completed it. But fuck it, man. Like, you gotta be able to resist the completionist impulse, the good student impulse. And sometimes it comes by like intentionally being a bad student. You know, you like channel your fucking inner bad kid. And that, I think that's like a healthy way for that impulse to get out. So I hope that's helpful. That's what I've got on that one. Okay, now we get into some silly ones. And this one, I don't think needs a lot of explanation, so I'll just kick it off.
Hey, Dave, this is your friend Jake from Podcasty for Me, patreon.com/. I got a question for your mailbag. I was recently in Las Vegas, Nevada, and sorry, my cat's scratching something. I had this intrusive thought that I thought I'd turn into a mailbag question for you. So imagining you're at the poker table and there's poker chips all over it. They're all worth $100. So you get to keep as much money as you can eat in poker chips. You can't throw them up. Obviously they're going to come out anyway. And you're off the hook for medical bills. Although you will have to, like, if you need surgery, you have to, you know, you have to get surgery. You don't get to magically skip that for the question. So how much money are you going to try to eat in poker chips. Regular size, round ones, you can pick the color. I think I would... How many do you think would fit in a condom? Like 40? 30? So that's $3,000? That doesn't seem like enough. Two condoms worth. $6,000, I think is what I'm going for. Let me know. I will take my answer off the air. Just kidding, I don't listen.